My 5-minute break turned into 12, but that's okay. Welcome to the City Council regular session of the North Salt Lake City Council for January 17th, 2023. I'm Mayor Horrocks. I'd like to welcome everyone. Recognize we have our youth city council here in great numbers. Thank you for your attendance. I'd like to excuse council member Ted Knowlton, and he's away. And oh, wait a minute, here comes another one. First item, we'll turn time over to council member Gordon to lead us in the thought or prayer and the pledge.
Thank you. I have invited Peter Mosman to come and give us the a thought and the pledge. And I just want to introduce him. Peter, who uses the pronouns he and they, runs the Salt Lake Community College Gender and Sexuality Student Resource Center and helps Salt Lake Community College achieve the accolade of the most affordable LGBTQ+ friendly college in the U.S. and the top 8 community colleges leading the nation in LGBTQ equity in 2021. As a first-generation college graduate from North Salt Lake, Utah, he has been with Salt Lake Community College for 13 years. After proudly graduating from Salt Lake Community College with degrees in humanities and political science, they later graduated from Weber State University with a degree in civic advocacy, where they focused their research on gender in traditional Native American cultures, cognitive dissonance of gay identities and Mormonism, and First Amendment law. Peter has given workshops and trainings to audiences across the globe on topics such as tobacco prevention, LGBTQ awareness, and environmental care and advocacy. However, his most notable community project is his Hug a Gay Mormon ministry, where they would engage the community in essential conversation and reflection surrounding the intersecting identities of being queer and a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Peter loves traveling, dancing, spending time with his family and friends, and playing board and card games. Peter's going to read a poem, and then he will lead the pledge in American Sign Language.
That's an intimidating walk. Hello, everybody. This poem that I'm going to read is called Say Yes. It's from my favorite poet, Andrea Gibson. When two violins are placed in a room, if a chord on one violin is struck, the other violin will sound the note. If this is your definition of hope, this is for you. For the ones who know how powerful we are, who know we can sound the music in the people around us simply by playing our own strings, for the ones who sing life into broken wings, open their chest and offer their breath, as wind on a still day when nothing seems to be moving, spare those intent on proving God is dead. For you, when your fingers are red from clutching your heart so it will beat faster. For the time you mastered the art of giving yourself for the sake of someone else. For the ones who have felt what it is to crush the lies and lift truth so high, the steeples bow to the sky. This is for you. This is also for the people who wake early to watch the flowers bloom, who notice the moon at noon on a day when the world has slapped them in the face with its lack of light, for the mothers who feed their children first and thirst for nothing when they're full. This is for women, and for the men who taught me only women bleed with the moon, and there are men who cry when men bleed from women's wounds. And this is for that moon, on the nights she seems hung by a noose, for the people who cut her loose, and for the people still waiting for the rope to burn, about to learn they have scissors in their hands. This is for the man who showed me the hardest thing about having nothing is having nothing to give. Who said the only reason to live is to give ourselves away? So this is for the day we'll quit our jobs and work for something real. We'll will feel for sunshine in the shadows, look for sun rays in the shade. This is for the people who rattle the cage that slave wage built, and for the ones who didn't know the filth until tonight, but right now are beginning songs that sound something like people turning their porch lights on and calling the homeless back home. This is for all the stuff we own, and for the day we'll learn how much we have when we give all that stuff away. This is for doubt becoming faith, for falling from grace and climbing back up, for trading our silver platters for something that matters, like the gold that shines. For falling from grace and climbing back up, for trading our silver platters for something that matters, like the gold that shines from our hands when we hold each other. This is for your grandmother who walked 1,000 miles on broken glass to find that single patch of grass to plant a family tree where the fruit would grow to laugh. For the ones who know the math of war has always been subtraction, so they live like an action of addition. For you, when you give, like every star is wishing on you. And for the people still wishing on stars, this is for you too. This is for the times you went through hell so someone else wouldn't have to. For the time you taught a 14-year-old girl she was powerful. For the time you taught a 14-year-old boy he was beautiful. For the radical anarchist asking a Republican to dance, because what's the chance of everyone moving from left to right if the only moves they see are NBC and CBS? This is for the no becoming yes, for scars becoming breath, for fear becoming trust, for saying I love you to people who will never say it to us. For scraping away the rust and remembering how to shine, for the dime you gave away when you didn't have a penny, for the many beautiful things we do, for every song we've ever sung, for refusing to believe in miracles, because miracles are the impossible coming true, and everything is possible. This is for the possibility that guides us, and for the possibility still waiting to sing and spread their wings inside us, because tonight Saturn is on his knees proposing with all of his 10,000 rings that whatever song we've been singing, we sing even more. The world needs us right now more than it ever has before. Pull all your strings, play every chord. If you're writing letters to the prisoners, start tearing down the bars. If you're handing out flashlights in the dark, start handing out stars. Never go a second hushing that percussion of your heart. Play loud, play like you know the clouds have left too many people cold and broken, and you're their last chance for sun. Play like there's no time for hoping brighter days will come. Play like the apocalypse is only 4, 3, 2, but you have a drum in your chest that could save us, and you have a song like a breath that could raise us, like the sunrise into a dark sky that cries to be blue. Play like you know we won't survive if you don't, but we will if you do. Play like Saturn is on his knees, proposing with all of his 10,000 rings, that we give every single breath. This is for saying yes. This is for saying yes. So, thank you. So I'm going to do the pledge in sign language. So if you all want to... Yes, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Okay. Next item is citizen comment. Is there anyone here at our meeting that would like to address the council? Seeing no one. No, okay, I'm kidding.
Thanks, Mayor. I mentioned this to Chief Black a few minutes ago before we started. Too often we hear people complaining about the police department, and I'd like to praise a couple of officers that did a great job last night. We have a grandson who has a physical mental problem, I'm not sure what all, and from time to time he just blacks out and takes off. And last night he was at our house. He took off. His dad came back in the house to put a coat on and shoes to chase him. And by the time we went out looking for about a half an hour or so, and finally my daughter, I guess, called the police. I'm not sure what the sequences were, but he had walked into the top stop down south of here and said, "I don't know who I am or what I am. I'm just tired." He does have a bracelet that has his name and his mother's phone number on it. And they called her, and I guess, anyway, it went back to the officers, and one of them came by a few minutes later, and then right behind him came the car with our grandson. And so I appreciate them responding quickly, and they are doing a good job, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Dee, for sharing that. Anyone else here to address the council? Okay, next item is the exciting part of the evening, presentation of the city auditors for fiscal year 2020 audit report. And Heidi, we'll turn over to you. And
Thank you. We're excited to be here today to present this. We contract with the firm Child Richards to do our annual external audit. That work was completed the end of December, and the reports are prepared and presented. And Ryan Child is here today to present some of the more specific information or useful information that's in that big document. You should all have a copy. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you. I'm glad that you feel this is exciting as well as I do. So we've conducted the audit for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2022. And there are four letters or reports from us in this bound report, and one is stapled just inside the cover page that you'll have. The main purpose of the audit is to have an independent party express an opinion on the financial statements that management prepares or oversees, and we have done that by doing some third-party verification, some confirmation and test work, as well as analytical procedures. And we have expressed an unmodified opinion that's inside your report on page one. Other parts of our letters are towards the very back of the bound report. There's one letter that refers to our analysis of internal controls over financial reporting. And as we take internal controls into consideration with respect to if the financial statements have been or could be materially misstated due to error or fraud. And we did not have any findings to report with you this evening with respect to internal controls. Another report is on state compliance, and that report, if you'll go with me back to page 80. So it's about the seventh from the last page. The state auditor's office has asked us or has requested or required that we test certain elements of the state code for all of the local governments. The compliance-related matters for state compliance that have come up for North Salt Lake in rotation is on this page. You can see it's up towards the top, and budgetary compliance being the first, and a number of other items. This is on rotation every year with the audits. And then in fiscal year 22, the city received or expended in excess of $750,000 of federal funds, which brings in additional compliance requirements for the city. It's called a single audit. And so those federal expenditures are subject to additional testing requirements with those federal requirements. So now if you'll turn all the way back to the very beginning of the report, there's actually a stapled letter that's just underneath the slip sheet. This is really for us as auditors to communicate with you that are charged with governing the entity, the results of the audit. If we had any disagreements with management or difficulties in performing the engagement for which we do not have any to report. This page does describe some of the estimates and concentrations involved in the financial statements for you to be aware of. On the second page of this report, there is one item about in the middle of the page that doesn't warrant a finding. It's not that the city did anything, made any expenditures that were in violation with the code, but the federal government would like to see local governments who receive federal funds and manage federal funds to have policies that are in direct relation to the federal expenditures, so they cover the applicable compliance requirements, such as Davis-Bacon wages or eligibility, allowable costs, and so forth. So there is a recommendation that the city take that into consideration for their policies. Now, if we get into the numbers, if you'll turn into the report to page 4. Am I echoing a little bit, you guys? I'm okay. So this part of the report is management's discussion and analysis. This is Heidi being able to put narrative description and tell the story behind the numbers. This is a good read to get a good glimpse of the overall activity and financial position of the city in this section. It's about 10 pages long or so. It also provides a two-year comparative for the city as a whole. You can see on page 6, very condensed, summarized amounts for the city in between governmental activities and business type activities. So if there's this would be a great place to go to get a feel for how these financial statements are presented and the overall position of the city. If you'll turn to page 18 with me, the city prepares its financial statements on there's two different bases of accounting, but it separates all of the city's funds in between governmental funds and proprietary funds. The city has a total of 15 funds, and you can see 4 major governmental funds reported on this page and a column for non-major governmental funds. The 4 major governmental funds include the general, the redevelopment agency, capital projects, and the roadway development. This page is the balance sheet that reports the assets and liabilities at the end of the fiscal year. And then the bottom part shows the fund balance, which is the equity or the difference between assets and liabilities on the current measurement focus. At the top of the page, you can see cash in each of those funds. This is unrestricted cash, meaning that it is available to pay the liabilities of those funds and other ongoing expenditures that may be incurred that are not restricted for certain purposes. The last asset that you can see just above in the center of the page, you can see the double underlined total of assets. The last asset listed is restricted cash, which totals among all the governmental funds. You can see the total is $9,376,000. Those restrictions are specifically segregated toward the bottom of the page under fund balance. For example, in the general fund, the restricted fund balance for road tax projects is $221,000. You can see the Redevelopment Agency at $3.5 million. And then coming over in the road development, you can see the amount that was restricted for impact fees at $2.8 million and other road tax projects at $747,000. Going up just a little bit on this page, there is a section called Deferred Inflows of Resources. In the general fund, you can see property taxes. These are property taxes that the city has placed a lien on as of June 30th, but are not collected until November or December. So it's the money that just came in. So there's a receivable and what we would call a deferred revenue. In the road development fund, there is another deferred inflow of resource, and this is the unspent $3 million grant from UDOT at the end of the year at $2,563,000. The second row from the bottom on this page shows the total fund balances by fund. You can see the governmental funds in total were just under $25 million at the end of the year. The changes in those fund balances are reported over on page 20. In the general fund, you can see the first subtotal on the top of the page shows total revenues at $15.4 million. This is pretty steady with where it was in the previous year, but about $300,000 higher. And the revenues in the other funds as well. Total revenues in the governmental funds was $20,259,000. And expenditures between all of the governmental funds totaled up to $17.4 million. Of course, this includes all of the amounts that were spent on major projects and debt service. In the fourth column over, the road development fund, you can see the capital outlay that was spent on highways and public improvements at just over $3 million with the expenditures that took place on the roads in that year. Just below the total expenditures, you can see the excess or deficiency of revenues over expenditures in the general fund at $3.9 million. And then coming down in the next section, you can see the transfers of money that came in or out of each fund to the other funds. You'll notice over on the side of the page, the total, you can see the total transfers in at $4.4 million and transfers out at $4.4 million. In other words, the general fund transferred money out to the other funds to fund some of those capital projects. The third row from the bottom shows the net change in fund balance, both those that are restricted and unrestricted, in the general fund totaling $1,089,000. And in the total governmental funds totaling $6.4 million. One other item to note on this page, in the Redevelopment Agency, the second column, if you go down towards three-fourths the way down the page, you can see the proceeds from borrowing. This is the RDA's share of the revenue bonds that were issued in 2022. If you'll turn to page 22 with me, this section of the financial statement shares the enterprise funds or proprietary funds, which are those funds that are set up to operate like a business. They're called business type activities. So the user fees should be sufficient to pay for ongoing expenses, as well as the eventual repair and replacement of the infrastructure that's in the ground. You can see the water, pressurized irrigation, and the stormwater fund. Each of these has unrestricted cash up on the top of the page at $3.7,946,000 and $829,000. In each of these three funds, there is enough unrestricted cash to cover 1 year, if not more, or approximately that area of annual expenses. The Solid Waste Fund has $336,000 in cash. Of course, the Solid Waste Fund is set up to basically collect and then pay for the service. There's no intensive infrastructure in this fund. And the Golf Fund has $320,000 of unrestricted cash. And then you can see a subtotal up at the top showing total current assets. And then the next line below is the restricted cash in each of these funds. In the water fund, you can see $1.2 million, which is restricted for impact fees. And then amounts in the pressurized irrigation, the stormwater, and in the golf fund. So you can see that Heidi is keeping track of the restricted sources of cash that comes into the city and ensuring that they're spent on the eligible uses. In the golf fund, this is the unspent proceeds from the bond. If you will turn with me to page 24, you can see the revenues and expenses in these funds for the year. The water fund had $3.6 million in revenues come in. Your citizens did an excellent job of conserving water during the drought year, which the only downside to that is not very much revenue comes in, right? You saw a drop in user fees. Operating expenses are down below. This includes depreciation expense on the infrastructure and equipment. And then the difference between operating revenue and operating expenses is the difference shown on the bottom of this page as operating income or loss. So this is a line to keep a watchful eye on as you govern or direct the city to try and ensure that these funds generate sufficient revenues to cover their expenses, including depreciation expense. And they are in good position. If you'll turn over to page 26. 26 is the statement of cash flows for each of these funds. So we just looked at revenues and expenses, and this measures and reports the cash coming in and going out in each of these funds. The first subtotal on the top of the page is net cash provided from operating activities, and it's at $36,000 in the water fund, and then it's a little bit tight in some of those other funds as well. Going down a couple of sections below, cash flows from capital and related financing activities. You can see the amount that was spent in the water fund on capital assets at just under $2.5 million. The proceeds from the bonds on the refinance and the principal paid on bonds, which includes the refinance as well in those funds. In the golf fund, going over, you can see the acquisition and construction of capital assets, the cash that was paid for the clubhouse that was in progress at June 30th. And overall, on the following page, there is a subtotal. This is on page 27. I shouldn't say subtotal. This is a total toward the top of the page with the double underline that shows the total cash and cash equivalents, both restricted and unrestricted, in each of these funds. The audit went really well. As I mentioned before, we've issued an unmodified opinion, no findings with internal controls, state compliance, or the federal audit. And I have to say, Heidi prepared these financial statements and the notes and the MD&A. That's not always the case. A lot of times we have to step in and really help out a lot. So I'd like to commend her for having that ability to do so. Anybody have any questions for me?
I have a question, but maybe it's for Heidi. What is, I'm trying to wrap my head around restricted cash in the general fund. What's an example of, is pensions, retirements? What's restricted in the general fund?
It would be your street and any street and road tax that is still sitting in the general fund, B&C roads.
Okay. So it's restricted in the sense that it just has to go into the street fund at some point?
It has to be spent for those specific purposes.
Okay.
So depending on where we are at the time of year and where we're at with our construction cycle and projects, we might not have transferred everything. If we've got a project mid-cycle, we'll pick up the rest of the transfer the following year.
Okay. Any other questions? Anyone? Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
We'll probably invite you back next year.
Sounds good.
Okay, moving on. Our next item is consideration of appointments to Parks, Trails, Arts, Recreation Advisory Board. Ken, are you going to do this one?
We put the memo together for me, but I think I would just say this, that these appointments are city council appointments, as you know, and so Wendy's done a good job kind of keeping us all organized, including writing this draft of the memo. So we present that to you. The one item I noted in that we noted in the memo is that Christine Pepin is not wanting to come back to serve a second term. So Stan will be looking for another person to take that that seat in seat number 4, which is Stan's seat. So, okay. But the other two are excited to keep going. That's Dallas Golden, which is Councilmember Van Langeveld's appointment, and Kyle Poulter, which is Councilmember Knowlton's appointment. He is relatively new on the committee. This would be his first full term that we're appointing him to, because he filled an unexpired term.
Okay. Does this require?
You should make a simple motion to approve those.
I'll entertain a motion.
Well, I would guess that the person that's appointing would make the motion, isn't that?
Well, Ted's not here.
Right.
That one.
I'll make it.
Okay.
Mayor, I make the motion that we approve the appointments to the Parks, Trails, Arts, and Recreation Advisory Board. Appoints Dallas Golden, appointed by Councilmember Van Langenfeld, and Kyle Porter, Councilmember Knowlton's appointment to the board.
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. That passes.
I just wanted to say that Christine had done a wonderful job, but she had retired last year, and she plans on doing retirement things. That's why she chose not to, but we're looking for a replacement for her now.
Okay. Thank you, Stan. Next item is consideration of approval for a temporary planning intern for the community development. Elisa, I want you to realize how powerful you are here. You just kind of threw that out last meeting, and here we're doing it.
Have you heard of Big Magic? It's an Elizabeth Gilbert idea that, like, there's ideas out there in the zeitgeist, and then we're all grabbing them at the same time.
Sherry?
Yes, thank you so much. So as some of you may be aware, Kim McKenzie in my department, my city planner, is expecting in the middle of April, and so she'll be taking a maternity leave. We thought that it would be beneficial if we were to have a planning intern that she could train for a few weeks to help out cover some of the duties that she has, and also make the the internship be valuable to the applicants to learn some practical experience as well as get some experience with some of our projects. So I've outlined in the staff memo a proposal for you. This would be a temporary position up to 32 weeks. We figure we could hire someone for up to $18 an hour. We're not exactly sure how much the going rate is right now for interns. And then that would be about 20 hours a week on average. We figured they might be able to work a few more hours on weeks where they have a break from school, or a few less on weeks where they have, you know, finals and things like that going on. But we were hoping to get this filled as soon as we can. The cost would be approximately $11,500 in salary, and then another $1,250 in insurance, or not insurance, in the payroll taxes. I've outlined for you here on the slide, as well as in your staff report, our proposal, as well as the practical experience that the individual will get. And then I thought that I would anticipate you might have a question, or that Councilmember Knowlton might have a question about the form-based code and the timeline. And so I outlined the timeline on this slide so that you could see it. Also, we can also email that out to you. But this is our schedule for getting the form-based code. The planning intern would be instrumental in helping us with some of those public outreach, public open houses, and public hearing preparation, and then helping us prepare for some of that public outreach for the general plan update, assuming that we get the grant that we are hoping to get to be awarded in May for the following year. So do you have any questions for me?
I have a couple questions. So this is for the intern to begin in April, or as soon as possible?
As soon as possible, so we can get them trained. Mackenzie can train them for several weeks beforehand, and then they can help out with some of her duties that are less technical.
And then would there be any problem if we pass it this way, if it's filled by two separate people? You might, if it's 32 weeks, that's at least two semesters. You might have someone that does one semester and then doesn't want to stay for the second semester, and you fill it with a second person. Would that need to be changed in the resolution at all?
I don't think that you'd need to change the motion at all. Now, what you're authorizing is for us to make a hire and to pay in this approximate range. It might be a little bit more, it might be a little less, but we'll take this as kind of a general approval. And if it turns out that it's two people, then that's what we'll do.
Well, this thrills me. I think it's fantastic. Thank you.
Well, we were thrilled to hear your your priority last time.
Does that excitement and thrill translate into a motion at all?
I'm ready. I move that the City Council approve the request for a planning intern limited to a temporary part-term position of up to 20 hours per week, not to exceed a duration of 32 weeks.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Let's do roll call.
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes. Thank you.
Thank you very, very, very much.
Yeah. Okay, next item is consideration of resolution 2023-05R, a resolution approving agreement 2023-01A to dedicate property and road right-of-way to Woods Cross City at approximately 1900 South, 1100 West. Karen, before you begin,
yes.
Todd would like to make a disclosure.
Yeah, Mayor and Council, our firm represents Woods Cross City in addition to representing North Salt Lake. Just so the record is clear, I checked today, I walked out of my office, I turned left, I talked to the Woods Cross City attorney. He did not prepare this agreement on behalf of Woods Cross City. I did not prepare this agreement on behalf of Woods Cross City. Our office hasn't participated in the preparation of this specific agreement, and he had not been consulted about this matter by Woods Cross City. So.
Thank you, Karen.
We did consult with our attorney about this matter, just so you know. Our attorney has reviewed this agreement.
This is called a Chinese firewall, is that?
There we go.
All right. Karen.
So this project is the road widening of 1100 West, which aligns with our main street. If you look on the map that's provided, the red box shows approximately the project area. It's from 1750 South to 1970 South, or about where the railroad crosses. This project will widen the road. It will provide curb and gutter, sidewalk, beginning at our property going north. And we provided this map primarily because we think it's important to note the benefit it might have to our city as well as the residents, as well as a residence of Woods Cross. And that is that it provides a fairly convenient traffic detour in the event that the spur line had problems with railroad crossings. There's not a lot of trains, it doesn't happen a lot, but because they have recently completed some work there in the subdivision, directly west of 1100 West. You now have an access to get from 1100 North to 1100 West without crossing a railroad track. And the additional widening of this road, just north of where that yellow line ties in, would provide potential access for residents or businesses in the event that railroad crossing is non-accessible. We also think it improves safety, particularly in front of a property that's owned by North Salt Lake City. We think that's an important thing to note. So these are the existing property lines that occur on these two parcels. Our existing building is located approximately, it crosses both parcels. It's in that center green line. So green are the boundary descriptions. Red are the revised property lines. A few months ago, there was a plat that was signed by the mayor. We brought a resolution to City Council to approve that, to dedicate the center portion of the road as required to record that plat. So those two parcels have already been amended along that red line. However, the property boundary descriptions that were sent to us follow the original green lines in those boundaries. The southern lot provides access to the south side of our facility, and we also have a driveway in from 11 West. So this is the area as described in the special warranty deed. It's important to note there was an arrow in the memo. I said it was about 0.7 acres. It's 0.37 acres. This existing boundary description goes approximately to the center line of the road. This was very common in old property descriptions that weren't platted. Both properties on either side were written descriptions to the center line of the road. It's really a prescribed right-of-way, and that road's been in use for some period of time. However, this area is also included in that is not part of that existing road. There's a significant amount of widening happening here, and the widening will really quite impact the front or the western side of our property. This additional area that's outside of the road is about a quarter of an acre. The existing right-of-way will be widened. Our fence will be moved in. We have worked with Woods Cross, and they've been very accommodating. Their existing ordinances require that fence to be a certain distance back. In order for us to adequately continue to manage and use this facility, we need that fence put right behind the new sidewalk, and they've agreed to do that as it's a critical facility. So we think that that was, it's very much appreciated by us. So staff recommends that we approve this. The intent of Woods Cross is to take the property and then dedicate it as a public right-of-way.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
Make a motion, Mayor.
Please.
I move that the City Council approve Resolution 2023-05R, authorizing Mayor to sign the improvement installation agreement and special warranty deed for Woods Cross City related to property located approximately 1900 South, 1100 West in Woods Cross, Utah.
We have a motion and a second. Thank you. Any further discussion? Let's start with Lisa.
Aye.
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 Thank you. That motion passes. I failed to neglected to recognize Greg Zegmiller from Woods Cross is here, the city engineer there. Thank you, and thank you for all you do and the relationship we have. We appreciate that. Appreciate your city.
Thank you. We appreciate your help as well.
Next item is consideration of authorizing repairs to the city culinary water wells. Boy, we're spending a lot of money on water. Come on, Karen.
You know, If you can think of something more important than water, let me know, Mayor.
Air.
Okay, I can't help you with that part.
We only spend more on police than water.
So I'm going to describe what has happened and what it is we're going to do, and I'm going to do it with some pictures. So this is a side profile view of a deep water well. This is actually one of the wells that we're working on repairing. So the footing foundation of the building sit about 4 feet deep, so they sit just on the ground. The well, however, goes many hundreds of feet into the ground. The depth varies by the well. Some of them are 500 or 600 feet deep. There's an existing subsidence that I think you're all familiar with that's centered in the Woods Cross area. Two of our wells are located within that subsidence. And the ground is literally sinking. It's settling as the surface layers, or about the top 60 or 70 feet of the ground, is compressing. So the areas in red are the ones that are being affected by that subsidence. So what happens is it's putting points of impact on where these flange ductile iron connections are occurring, shown in the blue circles. So flange connections have zero ability to deflect. They're intended to both restrict and restrain and withstand some really significant forces. So when you start twisting and bending them, it doesn't go very well. So what ends up happening, this keeps switching. Okay, so what ends up happening is as the footings and the building are settling, the well does not. So the well pushes up out of the ground, and we end up with all the pipes being shown in blue now pushed out of alignment. So they're locked at a fixed point that's pushing up out of the ground, if you're standing on the ground, and the parts that are locked in underground. So now the pump has turned blue because it's getting pulled out of alignment, and this is actually the motor and the well seal. It's all getting pulled and twisted, and those torsion effects create tremendous amounts of stress. The pump is actually suspended inside the casing, usually 100 or 200 or 300 feet deep. And what's happened in the case of New Well is as that motor has been pushed and the well seal is out of alignment, that little tiny bit over 200 feet down, the well pump has been damaged and the shaft has been damaged. We had leaks and problems. They pulled the motor to repair the portion of the pump that was broken that's at the surface. Found it was broken in ways that really can't happen without something else really going wrong. So Public Works authorized them to pull the pump, and we found damage to the pump and the shaft. Now the solution to this is that we are going to cut down that well casing. As it's pushing higher, we've seen subsidence of about 6 inches. We're gonna remove the top of the well sill and realign it so that it's flat again. Now, over time, in these points of impact, the two small blue circles, Public Works has installed spacers. We have had parts welded in place to allow progressively mismatched parts. And what we're going to do is we're going to start over. We're going to re-lower the well. So that was planned for Honeywell. We pulled New Well as planned maintenance or this repair with the leaks that were occurring, and found that we need a new pump, we need new shafting. We believe that by making the repair to Honeywell now, we can avoid damaging the pump, which is very expensive. So in this case, the Honeywell, or the planned repairs we have for this winter, are $13,320. Because we now have to buy a new pump and new shafts for New Well, and while the pump is out, we're gonna clean the well as well. That's $60,540. So the total is $73,860. Now we have existing available funds that have already been budgeted in our tank repairs budget item. We're not going to need those funds this fiscal year. So we're requesting that we be granted permission to use those available funds for well repairs instead of tank repairs this year.
Thank you. If I'm not mistaken, Woods Cross has several homes that are going through the same stress, aren't they?
Yes.
And
in the same neighborhood.
How are they handling that? Are just individuals trying to
That's a great question. Woods Cross is at, I've talked to the city manager about this. We've shared stories about our landslide and his subsidence of homes. They're getting some federal grants. They're using city funds, county funds, state funds to individually do work on those homes. Some homes have had pilings put underneath the homes to support them. Very expensive repairs on each home.
Yeah, I would imagine. So, is this drought related?
It's exacerbated by the drought, absolutely.
Is it the removing water from the aquifer that's causing the subsidence?
So there's multiple layers. So the deep aquifer layer has a confining clay layer, only it's only semi-confined, so some water moves in between, but not very much. So it's leaking versus free-flowing. So most of the settlement is occurring in the top 60 feet. Some of the bore data that we got from Woods Cross that they did for these homes showed that about 70 feet down there are layers that will, that's the depth where the subsidence will stop. As the water level in the Great Salt Lake has lowered, it has affected. So it's more about that surface water layer, if you count 70 feet down surface, versus the ones that are 200 or 300 feet down.
Yeah, it's really, so we've been going to some meetings for a number of years now with some federal agencies that have some satellite data. And it seems clear to the state that the primary, there may be local causes like drawing on the aquifer, but region-wide, the falling levels of the Great Salt Lake are having an impact depending on soil type.
Yeah.
So it doesn't affect every area along the lakeshore. This particular area has soils that are particularly susceptible to settlement and failure when you dry them out. So they lose water, and then they lose their stability and their strength. So it's been pretty interesting. I'm not a geologist or an engineer, but I've been in a lot of those meetings. And it seems that the soil type together with the receding water levels are really wreaking havoc around on the Wasatch Front, everywhere around the lake.
So do we have areas in our city that are at risk?
We don't right now. So
we're kind of on the fringes. There's some minor subsidence that's occurring. What's been happening in the North Salt Lake area is we're seeing that settlement, because it's significantly less. The epicenter's in Woods Cross, and we're just on that outside edge. For example, our buildings that are settling quite smoothly. So if I didn't have a well drilled 500 feet in the ground, everything would be fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we haven't seen any settlement in buildings in the city limits of North Salt Lake.
So we know that the ground is settling because the wells show us that they are.
Settling evenly.
But it's even settlement, so there's no damage to the buildings.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, there is additional work being done when you asked if it's aquifer withdrawal. The State Water Rights Division is currently doing a re-study on safe withdrawals from the Bountiful Bench Aquifer, which we draw from. And we're working together with all of the cities in South Davis County to try and make sure that we're working cooperatively so that we're not exacerbating the subsidence.
In fact, there's a bill that's making the general plans of cities that will be amended will work with the Water Resources Division so that there is a comprehensive approach.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need a motion to approve this expenditure.
I'll make a motion. I move that the City Council approve repairs to the new well in Honeywell and authorize this project in the amount of $73,860 to Nickerson Company Incorporated.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Start with Elisa.
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes.
Thank you for Karen. This proactive work.
Yeah, thank you. This is great.
Okay. Next item is approval of City Council minutes for January 3rd. I didn't have any corrections in it? Any corrections to the, no?
I didn't see any corrections. I'll make a motion that we approve the City Council work session and regular session minutes of January 3rd.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes. Next item is action items.
I forgot to look at the action items, but I have some questions about things that could be in action. The audit report showed the money for the golf course. Is there money showing somewhere for Foxborough Wetlands Park? And when are we planning on starting Foxborough Wetlands Park?
There is money, and I've forgotten which page it's on, but it was on one of the pages that Ryan showed us the proceeds. I think it was the redevelopment agency, if I'm not mistaken. So this is a question that I'm continually pushing our staff on. It's very frustrating that we have funds in the bank and we don't have an approval from the Army Corps of Engineers.
Oh, that's what we're waiting
ahead.
For.
And so what we are investigating today is any activities that we could perform under the existing Army Corps of Engineers permit, which does allow us some latitude in maintaining the wetlands, in getting in and removing vegetation that's undesirable. David and I had a little meeting today on this where it may be that we get in there in advance and we grub the location where the phragmites are, for example, take it down to dirt level in preparation for this project. But
nice.
We're looking at ways to get started. It's very frustrating to us that the Corps of Engineers is taking such a long time to issue their approval.
Maybe we could throw tea into the wetlands.
I don't want the Army coming after me. Can I get updates also on Hatch Park? We approved a design for Hatch Park.
Yes.
Is it out to bid yet?
No. So right now, the process on Hatch Park is that we are looking at firms that could help us. If you remember, we discussed using a project manager approach for this project. So the design that we approved has to now be, with the assistance of a project management team, has to be designed. We have to have construction plans put together. We think that'll take about 9 months. So we would expect to go out to bid in the fall or winter of 2023.
And the dog park, is that moving forward?
The dog park is one project where David and I need to come back to the council in a work session, probably in two meetings from now. We haven't quite put it on the calendar, but we have the work session in February, which is our next meeting, February 7th, I believe. We have something scheduled, but we'll do that in the fall, the second meeting in February. We'll give you an update. I did, in the course of preparing for today's meeting, I did talk to Bryce Hatterley, the Woods Cross City Manager, and he clarified a misconception that I had about Woods Cross's participation, which I reported to the council. So he let me know that his city council had chosen not to participate at the time we presented the question to them, but they would very much like to participate in a dog park. They're considering it in a budget retreat that they're having in the next 30 days. And I expect that they will participate on some level. So that was a good clarification. It helped me to feel better about Woods Cross. It's not quite the Ukrainians and Russian frontier that we think it is sometimes. But anyway, I thought it was worth noting that Woods Cross will be, I believe, will be a participant. I don't know that they'll be in half and half, but David and I have some ideas about that we'd like the council to consider. So we'll present those in about a month to you on the dog park.
I just want to let you know that Woods Cross has changed its city motto to "We might not be that bad." So I'm really excited for them. I saved all the Woods Cross jokes till that guy left. So,
well, he also, you know, he reminded me that they're also in on the intersection that we got approval for from the county. They're paying $50,000 for that. That was Well, you just have to know how people from other countries think, and then you can. Then you can deal with them better. So,
I'd like to recommend a new restaurant in Woods Cross on Highway 89 called Plated Dreams. It actually is fantastic. I've been there several times. On their website, though, their motto says, "You'll forget you're in Woods Cross." I'm not kidding. Go look at their website. It literally says that.
I don't know why that happens.
What's the name of it again?
Plated Dreams.
Plated Dreams.
It's lovely. It's a brunch lunch restaurant only. They're not open for dinner.
Okay. On Highway 89 somewhere.
Is Sherry still over there?
Yes.
Can I ask a quick question about Brighton's participation in the townhomes at the entrance to Foxborough North on Redwood and 1100?
So the last I heard, they had asked for an extension of time from the property owner on the north side of 1100 North. And that property owner declined and said, no, either close or we're going to find a new buyer. So they walked away from that side of it. They were reworking the south side just slightly because there's a small parcel that the property owner on the north side owns that's on the corner of Cutler and 1100 North. And then Taylor quit and left Brighton, so I'm not really sure who's in charge of that project, but they have a much longer closing or due diligence period for the south side. They indicated to me that they are still planning to go forward. So what's happened on the north side is the broker has put it back out there. We've been approached by at least two different developers. The first one came in with this statement that, well, we're just going to do exactly the same thing that Brighton did. In fact, we're going to use their same engineering plans and their same architectural plans. And I said, okay, you get me a letter from Brighton saying that you are authorized to use what they've bought, and then we'll talk. And they came back and said, oh, yeah, well, okay, they said they didn't want us to use that and that we couldn't. And so we'd like to see how you feel about apartments there. And so we explained to them the history of the area and what we thought the likelihood of apartments being approved there on that side. And that developer went away, and it's for sale still. So
as long as we're on that intersection, it looked like they were doing some activity on the east side
where the
come and go is supposed to be. Is that actually what's happening there, or is it just them cleaning up their property?
Yeah, they're moving forward. They actually are working. This is kind of interesting that UDOT is bringing the Hughes truck stop or truck repair building that's just there to the south. If you'll remember, several years ago when they built that building, they failed to get an access permit from UDOT for their two driveways, and so they've been out of compliance. So now UDOT is bringing them into compliance and forcing them to share a driveway and relocate the driveway between what will be the new gas station and that north driveway on the truck shop. So that's what they're working out right now before they get ready to pull their permit, but they are moving forward, yes, with the gas station.
So they haven't pulled the permit yet?
They have not pulled the permit yet, okay. But it's in we have it in review, and they're working out their, they have to have their access permit from UDOT, okay, before we can issue it.
I'm switching highways at this point.
Okay.
89. Is Williamsburg, is that dead?
I don't believe it's dead. I did have a phone call that I need to return from Haley with Castlewood Development, and she wanted to give us an update. I saw her briefly at a meeting last week and told her that we had some graffiti issues going on at the Chilea Moore building, and she said her comment was, yeah, we just need to get that torn down. And I was like, yeah, you really do. So I will follow up with her tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Anything else on action items?
I would like to add or clarify a task for Tyler about reporting next year on the golf discount of 10 to 20%. In my memory, that also included a report on looking at a couple of the other parameters in the fee structure that were changed, specifically if there's any difference in the... Currently, the fee structure does not have any difference in cost from Monday to Thursday events versus Friday, Saturday. And is the golf course available on Sunday for events? So on weekend events, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. So if that seems to matter, or if that might be a way that we do a fee structure change. And then the other option was day events versus night events. And currently in the fee structure, there is no discount for doing an event in the day. It's just the amount of time, 6 hours versus the entire day. So those kind of questions of just looking at, this is the fee structure we tried for the year, and here are some areas where we wondered if this was going to be a good idea, and we could just get some information.
Can I just bring up, since we brought up Hatch Park and the redevelopment of it, and I think at the former meeting I talked about some of the trees. I did ask a customer of mine that's an expert in that area about moving those trees or what we could maybe do, and he explained that because of the diameter of them, that would be very practical to, if we're just changing the grade, is that we can lift the trees and still, and they'll, a good likelihood they would survive. So that's something that maybe as you get further down the road on that, that if that's the reason that we're dealing with the area, that we could lift those trees. You can't just put dirt around them, then they'll die. But he said that, yeah, they've got a pretty good chance of being able to, you know, if they're raising the grade or lowering the grade, they can adjust that with the trees and they'll probably survive. And it's not too expensive when you consider the cost of what it would cost to replace the trees. And
I'm sorry, are you saying that they could transplant the trees?
Well, I'm not sure what the plan is, but the plan kind of showed to me that the only reason they're dealing with those trees is they wanted to change the grade of the ball field. Is that kind of your understanding?
I don't know that we could answer that question quite
right now. Yeah, but that's kind of what my impression was, is that the only reason they're dealing with that area, although we've got the retention basin, we know we have to keep that.
Yeah, I think one of the tasks that I took from your comment was to ask the designer and potentially the contractor to engage in kind of an inventory of every tree that's out there and how that tree is impacted by the plan.
Yeah.
So then we can make decisions about whether to just lift the tree in place, which I think is a great suggestion.
Yeah.
To keep the tree, or which trees need to come out.
Right. So that's all.
Thank you for that.
Next item, we're on to council reports. Let's start with Lisa.
I have nothing to report.
Okay. Stan?
I don't think I really have anything to report.
Natalie?
We can discuss things.
I just wanted to report that the Youth City Council is planning on taking 20 youth to the conference in Logan, and that if they haven't already, they will be contacting you to invite you to the dinner that is up there on the closing night of the conference.
Would we be attending just as guests, or we have any responsibilities?
You have to dance after dinner.
Not a problem.
I didn't
and
dance.
Karaoke, I will bring my own microphone.
I just sat on the couch. No, we would just be there to interact with the youth.
On that note, I spoke to the youth council last week, and I mentioned the day at the legislature, and a couple of them were familiar with it, but basically weren't going. So we pulled out of that a couple of years ago, partly because it wasn't really very good. And I'm planning on going tomorrow.
I'm going.
And so, yeah, I thought I'd try to reevaluate if we should re-engage in that. But I kind of was putting the league on notice that, you know, you got to do, it's got to be worthwhile to pull these kids out of school and such. And
I'm going to the luncheon. I'm not going to the 7:45 in the morning.
I thought I'd show up for part of the morning just to see what's going on. But anyway, we may want to put that back on the radar for next year if the league's got it, their act together on that. Elisa?
Nothing to report.
Okay. City attorney report?
Nothing, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. I will pull out my notes. That. Just as a couple of items, Ken has been working on a UDOT letter that I signed, so we submitted that to UDOT, and basically gave them a thumbs up on their plan with a strong please keep Center Street exit plea in there too. I also signed a letter today that was put out by WFRC supporting the Utah Trails system that the governor announced. I think that's going to be a great project to see connect the entire state by trail. Here's my little plug for the mosquito abatement district. We had 5 West Nile cases in Utah and no deaths. Colorado, who is anti-mosquito abatement, had 19 deaths.
Deaths.
Yeah. And then just as a personal note, Richard Allen of Layton just retired from the Mosquito Abatement Board after 45 years. Yeah.
Can we send him like a thank you card or something? Congratulations.
Yeah, 45 years. I mean,
of baiting mosquitoes.
Of representing the city of Layton. And yeah, it's the old timers on the Mosquito Abatement Board are appointed non-elected people, and there's been an emphasis to put elected people on it in the last decade or so. But yeah, there's another woman that's been on there 27 years or something. But
I was serious about a card. Should we send him a letter?
Yeah.
Congratulating him?
Sure.
That'd be awesome.
Richard Allen of Layton. I used to give him, I'm hard on him like I am Stan, you know. I'd say, Richard, when you pulled in with your hand card in Layton, you know.
Just as a reference, that's before I was born.
Yeah. Oh, I was trying to think, I was probably in high school maybe or something. But yeah.
You are not.
I'm grown.
And that's all I have. City manager report.
So the only question I had is for the city council is I received some correspondence, and maybe Mayor, you might know more about this, but I received correspondence from Nathan Rich, who is the executive director of Wasatch Integrated Waste, informing me of several changes, short-term and long-term changes, in Wasatch Integrated's plans for how they will handle recycling, how they will handle solid waste, plans to expand and do a second transfer station, and those kinds of things. And at the end of the correspondence, he suggested that if it would be beneficial to us, he would be happy to come to a city council meeting and present district plans to you. And as I've thought about that, I think that's a great idea. I don't know that we've really talked to this present council much about Wasatch Integrated. It might be helpful to know and understand their plans better as we operate a solid waste collection service in the city. That district has gone through a number of changes over the years, and it might be good for us to just have Nathan come in. He did come to the city council meeting, to a city council meeting in 2011 or 2012, but that's been, 10 years ago at least.
I think that's a great idea, and I would like to know what the changes are as well.
Yeah.
Because I took a tour there. If you haven't taken a tour, you should take a tour there.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary.
Also, people throw away a lot of shoes. You wouldn't notice that unless you're watching the conveyor belt.
You know what impressed me was, and I also think it's a great idea, how much, I guess it's the inefficiencies of our distribution, but there are just, you'll walk into a room there and there will be cases and cases and cases of soda pop that is now expired to a point they can't sell it. So we're turning it into, we're recycling it and using it.
Or aluminum.
Or, and then the ingredients.
Oh.
Yeah, they're so clever, everything they do. But I'm still amazed at how much waste is in our world. And as I manage properties, we just need to do business different in America. I've got a space now that I just painted and put in new carpet, and it is now available because the tenant needed to expand and they expanded into the bigger space. So I got brand new carpet, brand new paint, and I know someone's gonna come in and go, I'll take this space, but I want this wall moved. And so I will have to rip out all the carpet, all the ceiling tile, and everything, and that'll go into
the lease.
Well, it goes into our landfills. And
oh, I see.
And then they'll call me the next day and go, I've got a piece of paper here that I want to recycle. Can you help us? And it's like, yeah. Let's recycle that paper. And why we just filled up the landfill with sheetrock and carpet and stuff. But so, yeah, it's a really interesting phenomenon. And I've even tried to discount. I'll take $2 a foot off your rent if you take it as is, and nope, they won't do it. They want to do it. So anyway, that's my soapbox on.
On a related note, have we ever thought about green waste cans or compost cans?
We've thought about it. Topics come up in the past, and we just haven't had enough interest at the time. That was several years ago. But
there might be enough interest. Can I get a council member to agree with me to put that on an agenda?
Sure.
Thanks.
That's fine. One thing I wanted to ask, though, and I don't know if it was in that letter, I know that the West Bountiful, one of the council members approached me some time ago and talked about a great place for a transfer station would be right there next to the water treatment plant in West Bountiful, because that's on the way to the Bountiful dump, and therefore it would be a lot closer, and it would be in an area that's not going to affect negatively homeowners or other places. We talked about that years ago. In fact, I helped design a transfer station for North Salt Lake, but then we couldn't find a place to put it because we thought it'd be too disruptive to our, wherever it went. But I thought that was a good suggestion. So I hope that if they're considering one down this way, they'd look at that property.
I don't know exactly where they think geographically they need a transfer station.
Well, I make that suggestion, or maybe when he
comes,
I can make it.
Yeah, it's the thought that if you're already halfway to Layton, you might as well keep going.
I don't know. In fact, I kind of gathered from his letter that maybe they were even expanding on their property where they are. So, anyway.
They've done a great job you know, when you talk about recycling and everything, it's like the life of the landfill never changes. You know, it was like 10 years, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And we just keep pushing it out 10 more years. And
I did, in his, I'll send the letter to you so that you'll have that. But in the letter, he does say that they're going to start to ship a certain portion of their solid waste to a landfill out of the area to preserve the life of this local landfill.
Up in Box Elder County?
I don't know where.
Yeah. They talked about that several years ago, so that's not a surprise. But anyway, put a plug in for a transfer station on the way to the Bountiful Dump. And
you know, it is just it's kind of lousy farmland out there. And
with somebody else.
That would be a good location.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all I had, Mayor.
All right. Do we have any need for a closed session?
No. You guys did the Woods Cross item without going to a closed session, so that's it.
All right. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I'll motion to adjourn.
We are adjourned.